Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. It is a Monday. What a big, big sports weekend we are coming off of. And a fantastic one at that. Well, unless you got injured. Lots of injuries in the NFL. We shall discuss. Welcome aboard. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me, Craig Sheeman, at Craig ESPN. Follow Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. And we got a lot to do and a lot to cover. Pete Shepard, how are you, sir?
I am absolutely fantastic. Just a marvelous weekend of sports. Really unbelievable. Started Friday night with the Celtics, finally not letting up in the third quarter and everything. I think that series is going to
take got one to the finish line.
Dramatic change and Gordon Hayward coming back. But the football was incredible. Miami Hurricanes, and to quote Kirk Herbstreit, and it just felt different. It did. It's one game, Louisville, but there's just a crispness there that I have not seen with that team in a long, long time. So that was good. An incredible NFL weekend. I feel horrible, and I mean this from my bottom of my heart, for all the people who are in these big fantasy leagues. I mean, that was the NFL turned into a mash unit. It turned into a mash unit before the second quarter, before halftime of the first games.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable. I've never seen a day or a half of football like that in my life. And now you have all the City Life Field, MetLife Field conspiracy.
Everybody's worried about the grass or the turf at MetLife. Yeah. Listen, I watched that on Red Zone like you probably did. But Saquon Barkley, I feel particularly bad for him because the play before he got hurt, he dislocated his elbow. It popped it back in, came back on, and then the next play has a season-ending knee injury. It's just unbelievable. And they're so hard. I got to tell you, they're hard to watch.
I have to look away. I have to look away. I looked away on the elbow one. And I think he sat out a play that comes right back in. I mean, what are the odds of that?
That's not hitting the lottery. That's whatever the opposite of hitting the lottery is. He did it. He did it.
And then
Nick Bosa's was particularly uncomfortable to look at, as well as his knee went backward. Oh, I can't do this. I feel so bad for these people.
Some really unbelievable stats, and you got to wonder, Dan Quinn, Adam Gase, Matt Patricia, how much longer they have. We'll get into all of that. Just the Falcons again. I actually tweeted out, which I never do, but I did. What are Falcon fans doing today?
They are the first team in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
We have 440 games
yep.
of teams that have had 39 points and zero turnovers. They're the first one to lose.
It's unbelievable. And like your Hoosiers and kind of like your Lions had a 98% chance to win when they were. But my goodness.
I would like to point out the world superstar, Julio Jones. Two catches, 24 yards, zero touchdowns, zero wins.
Well, worse than that for him. First of all, he cost my buddy Brian one of his leagues. But did you see the Wildcat formation and the perfect – I forget who threw it for the Falcons – a perfect throw to Julio Jones, and he dropped a touchdown pass.
Hit him in a bad spot.
He stinks.
Yeah. Right in his hands.
Yeah.
Stinks.
Right in his hand. Well, he didn't stink last week. It was a great week.
But he didn't score. So we'll get into all this. Lots to talk about with each of these games. But before we get too far behind schedule at 4 minutes past the hour, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
Deep breath. Nick Bosa, Saquon Barkley, Cortland Sutton, Tavon Young, Malik Hooker, Brandon Scheff, Isaac Samalo, and Paris Campbell, all expected to be done for the year. Varying injuries, an Achilles, some knees in there, bunch of bad stuff. Christian McCaffrey, Drew Lock, Jimmy Garoppolo, Devontae Adams, Byron Jones, and Raheem Mostert, they're all just going to be out a few weeks. So there's some good stuff going on. And we got Monday Night Football. Listen to who else gets hurt tonight, 7:30 on 99.3 ESPN.
The trend's got to stop there. I mean, that was just awful.
A couple of things, too. Last night's game, which we'll get into, that's just a fantastic game. Hated the call like everybody else at the end. An unimaginative Josh McDaniels. Still a great game. Phenomenal.
It's about Cam at the one at the end of the game.
Yeah, the last.
Look, the play worked the all day long. They couldn't stop him, but this time they were ready. Everybody in the building, except there was nobody in the building, knew that that was going to be the play.
Well, and I don't mind that they were going to run the ball to him, but to spread out, do something, put somebody in motion, spread somebody out. It was not that obvious. The other two times he did it, it was a different sort of formation. This was just like, here, there's 11 guys. Go on the line, Cam, you go, and I was stunned at that, but whatever. It was still a fantastic game. And like I said earlier, there'll be a lot of people eating a lot of crow because they're going to be a lot better than people think.
Well, who's eating crow?
Well, not you. Because you're the stupid Patriots, you think they're going to stink and everything else.
Seven
and I told you.
Well,
they're not going to be 7-9. And you know it, and I know it.
And 7-9.
Everybody
knows. You got 14 games to win more.
I was waiting, like everybody else, because of what happened previously in the day. We're all, a bunch of 10 of us last night watching the game. I'm like, who's going to, please, let this trend not continue.
There were some stupid injuries in the Seattle backfield, defensive backfield in the game, too.
Yeah.
And then the horrible news before the game.
James White's
parents getting in a car accident.
His father passing away. He was a captain in the police department.
That was here in Miami.
Yep.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think his mom is still in critical condition, but just devastating news. Send thoughts and prayers that way.
Hmm.
And I had a great stat here about the Lions. But, you know, before that, because I have to defend my partner here, we have a discrepancy again. I think so.
Oh.
I think we have a discrepancy.
What's that?
I'm looking at our pigskin picks, and I know I went 4-4.
Yeah.
And 8-8. And
yeah.
Chris didn't have a great week at 2-6.
2-6.
Right.
But I gotta stick up for my man Craig Sheeman
here. Yeah,
I think he should be 10-6. I think Chris, you got it wrong. I think I'm pretty sure he had 5 wins on.
I was 5-3 2 weeks in a row.
Hold on,
you've screwed me. What is this BS?
Bad bookmaking.
You realize that these picks go down to like the last game in the Super Bowl, and one game can matter. This is an outrage. Where did he go? Is he getting his cheat sheet? We scared him out of the studio.
I don't know. He left.
Well,
He's on the lamb. Bad bookie on the lamb.
When he comes back, I have a lion stat. I'm wondering if it's the same as your lion stat, but we'll get to that.
I'm sure it is.
All right. What do we have?
No, you're right. You're right. I gave you a loss for Jacksonville. That was a win. It was just a clerical error. We
can't be making clerical errors when these things come down.
This is why the three of us all we fact check one another. It's a good thing because Craig, I'm not going to point any fingers, but you last week tried to take a few wins away from me. So you know what? Let's just all sit back, let's relax, and let's just fact check. That's all it is.
Hey, can we check our digital? Streaming. We're getting a lot of texts, and I just got texts about they're still hearing Levitard. Hold on. There he goes.
Chris is getting a workout here today.
But you're right. The stat about the Lions making history is the first NFL team ever to lead by double digits and lose 4 consecutive times. Which I usually don't do. It was a friendly sort of text. And I said, when you were up 14-3, I said, all you need is one more touchdown, and then the Green Bay Packers will have you right where they want you because you would have been up by 18.
It was witty. I chose not to reply.
It was very witty.
It was fine. Yeah. I did not, no harm done. I just chose not to reply because I knew what was coming. I know what's coming. And it didn't even turn out to be close. Another blowout loss. But 4 consecutive games of blowing double-figure leads, never been done. So both the Lions and the Falcons made the wrong kind of history in the NFL. We did things this weekend that had never been done in the history of the National Football League in 101 seasons.
And in all seriousness, really, about really, Adam Gase, he's got to go. I don't care how friendly he is with Joe Douglas. That cannot continue. He's got to go, and Quinn in Atlanta, and Matt Patricia. I don't know how much longer they make it.
Well, I'll throw this out at you. Of course, we know that there was the ambiguous Martha Ford threat. Hey, be competitive for the playoffs. Didn't actually say make the playoffs, but be competitive for the playoffs. We all know the history of 0-2 football teams. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely that they're going to make the playoffs. So here we are in the hole. We'll see if we're on Patricia Watts. She probably won't. She probably won't fire him during the season.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, historically, the Forts have not.
Yeah, but she's not in charge anymore. Well, you said she was behind the scenes.
Well, you're right. They kind of handed over power to her daughter this off. You're absolutely right about that.
So, that could be a good poll question.
I would put Adam Gase first.
Oh, I would too.
I think he's the first to go.
What offensive genius are you talking about here? Give me a break.
There is none.
Give me a break. Here's a stat that eclipses your Lions stat, by the way.
Okay.
This is really the stat of the day.
Okay.
Falcons are the first team since 1933 to lose a game despite scoring 39 points and having 0-2.
Yes.
But up until Sunday, teams had been four. Did you say this already?
I just said two minutes ago.
I thought you did. Okay, you know what? I'm looking at 440-0, you did say it.
Yep. Yeah, but that's, again, both the Lions and the Falcons making the wrong kind of history this weekend. It's crazy. All right, now where do we want to focus our attention? Let's talk about the Dolphins' lack of defense for a moment. Fitzpatrick, look, he looked decent. 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, much improved performance from last week. No running game to speak of for the Dolphins. But, yeah. I mean, you score 28 points like that and you lose. I mean, Josh Allen had the best game of his career on Sunday. It's unfortunate for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, and for those of you who got to see some of the game, especially if you were there, because I had somebody kicked the plug out of CBS or the press box. So first you had that, and so those of you and didn't have Red Zone and weren't watching Tampa Bay and Carolina, you were watching Pittsburgh and Denver. Fine.
Yeah.
But you didn't get to see a lot of that game, the first half especially, and then they had the lightning delay in the second half that was 37 minutes, I believe. So, which is better than the one that was like a couple hours a couple years ago. Remember, there was like 2 or 3 hour delay.
True.
Earlier.
But speaking of storms, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I'm sitting down. I'm watching Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. And right when Carrie Underwood's coming on, I get this flash on my screen, as you all did. And apparently we had this rare storm. It was like an intense low pressure system that was spinning into a thunderstorm right over Southwest Florida. And it gave you times. It said like, at X amount of time, Cape Coral's going to get hammered, then Estero, then a Bonita, then Naples, and they gave you the times.
It was like it was specific time, 8:06, 8:11, 8:19.
Now, by the time it was supposed to get to me around 9 o'clock, it had completely petered out. I mean, I don't even think we got a, like, spittle. But near the Caloosahatchee River, both on both sides, trees were upended and like 11 inches of rain came crashing down. So you people in our listening area did get hammered.
Oh,
but by
was,
the time it got to me, I got nothing.
It was bad at my house.
Was it?
It was bad at my house.
We thought it was going to be bad at our place in Benita National, but we got some wind and some mist for about 20 minutes, and it was actually kind of refreshing. It felt like you're in a sports bar with the fans blowing on you and stuff like that. But we started moving, helping our buddies move furniture around a little bit and some other stuff, but didn't get carried away because I don't know.
Yeah, they said move your outdoor furniture in, which I did.
We started to. We started to do some of it.
Waste of time.
During commercial breaks, and then we stopped. Said, no. We just moved some little stuff, and we'll wait to see what happens. Yeah. But it was and it didn't happen.
Chris is the Yankee of the group. He lives the furthest north.
Yeah.
So you got hammered.
That's offensive.
Yeah, there were no trees uprooted or anything, but I poked my head outside and turned the lights on to look at the treetops, and they were swaying.
Yeah.
It was, it wasn't scary or anything.
I saw some video from downtown Fort Myers. The palm trees were
it was a real storm. I mean, it was real that rolled through.
Country sucked. Great point. At least they didn't interrupt the game for 20 minutes this week with the storm that kicked up.
It's the exact thought that I had. Yeah, I looked at it. I go, way to go, NBC. Take notes. This is how you break into a game to provide pertinent information to your viewership.
Yes.
Yeah, and I also want to thank my buddy. I went on, did the reciprocal last night, went on a Gabe Morency show, his television show last night.
Was it a TV show?
And it was great. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Sport Rage late night. it's called. It's on YouTube. It's on like 200 stations.
You just zoom it in or whatever?
Yeah, well, I just, it was by phone.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It was by phone.
Oh, okay.
But it was a lot. It was
okay,
a lot
so
of fun.
You weren't on his overnight radio show. You were on his Sunday night TV show. He does.
He said it. No, I think it's simulcast. And it's simulcast because he told me it's on over 200 stations.
Yeah.
So he plugged us in the show and everything. It was good.
That's great.
He's on with us all the time, so I was on. I didn't know I was going to be on 45 minutes, but it was a lot of fun.
What kind of things you talk about on the show?
Oh, just the NFL in general, overall, everything in the NFL, Monday Night Football. Yeah. Talked a little Stanley Cup with the picks there, and got into just everything.
What is Gabe like as a host interviewing you, vice versa, opposite of how we are?
Almost the same. It was great. We had a great great back and forth and everything. We were talking about obviously the mass unit in the first half of the 1 o'clock games and how it affected everybody. And then you flip on the Red Zone at 4 o'clock and there's Justin Herbert with all his pimples warming up. Well, what happened?
All his pimples.
Well, he does. Bad acne, but that's okay. He's a kid.
Well, did Tyrod Taylor confuse a rib injury for a heart attack? I mean, something was going on. They sent him to the hospital.
Yeah, because of chest pains.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I mean, that's pretty vague. Chest pains can mean a lot of things.
But he had a rib injury before, which I think he re-aggravated. Mm-hmm. But out of an abundance of caution, they rushed him off to the hospital. So they gave Herbert like 5 minutes notice. Hey, you're starting. I don't think he thought Coach Lynn was serious.
It was a pretty impressive start for that, I thought, all things considered. And this is why, and again, it's one game. And I know the Chargers, for whatever reason, seem to play the Chiefs tough. I think if you look at the last five or six games, I know they upset them one time.
I got burned on that -9.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people did.
We all did.
If you didn't tease it. But it just goes to show you, once again, you don't hand teams automatic bursts. Because had it not been, three game-winning kicks in a row by, what's his name?
Bucker.
Yeah.
Bucker. I mean, that's unbelievable.
58 yarders, two of them.
Three of them. Yeah, one was 53, the other one was 50. To do that, Harrison Butker, three in a row. That's three game-winning field goals in my book.
Yeah, one was at the end of regulation, and then one was in overtime. Absolutely.
And the penalty and everything else, and then the timeout. It was unbelievable, but... You know, and here's what now. Here's the mistake everybody's going to make this week, not us because we are above it. You're going to hear. Here is the blueprint. We always hear this with good teams, and they don't win by as many as you're supposed to. So you watch this week. I swear, how many times people are going to say the Chargers have found out the blueprint on how to stop or slow down the Kansas City Chiefs? And I'm telling you, it never, ever, ever works out that way.
Yeah.
There's different game plans every week for different teams. And if it were that easy, if everybody just copied the Charger game plan, where Pat Mahomes one time this was like 9 for 19 or something early on, but in the end, he got the job done. But it never works out that way. Oh, this is how you used to watch what the Chargers did to the Chiefs. We're all going to copy it. Oh, go ahead. Try.
Good luck.
Well, they just may have some different personnel.
Well, they have good defensive linemen with Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. If you have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, you can get pressure with four.
Yeah.
That's not just the way to stop Patrick Mahomes.
But you will hear the a lot of the national lazy media pundits won't look at it that way. They will just say, just emulate what the Chargers did, and that's how you slow down the Chiefs. I heard this for many years about how to stop the Rams, how to stop the Patriots, how to stop this team or that team, and it just never works. It never, never, with very few exceptions, works out that way.
Yep. I like this text from 1984. It says, Craig, write about Julio Jones again. What percentage are you now?
I'm gonna
nudge it up to 93%.
Had a bad game.
The worst was the drop pass on the touchdown. On the
that was horrendous.
Yeah,
there's no way around that one. That was.
I mean, how much are we gonna keep propping this guy up? He's horrible.
He's not horrible.
Not horrible. Not
by any stretch of imagination.
He's dropping.
I'm not doing this conversation.
No, all right. I'll switch gears on you. I got another 5 o'clock hot take.
Don't
for you
go to Miami
in the afternoon.
Sick of those guys too.
We already did Miami. You've checked out on that. You didn't even comment on it. You checked out. My new hot take is over under on when Rob Gronkowski gets cut. 2 catches and 11 yards week 1, 0 for 0 week 2. I mean,
again, slow down.
Tom Brady. Tom Brady talks about, listen, I had thousands of throws with my guys in New England. So every time he throws a pick, by the way, he had another one, says, I don't have enough time with my guys yet. And the one guy he's got time with, he hasn't even so much as looked at in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, I don't know if you saw the interception he did throw. It was a pass to Gronkowski. It was just a bad throw by Brady. And Gronk,
he's lucky that wasn't a pick six.
It wasn't. Gronk would have gone for a touchdown. And to go look at the other throws in that game, and especially in the first half, I mean, they were dominant. It's week two. Gronk is going to be involved. It's just a matter. It's week two.
Blocker.
Talk to me after week six. Talk to me after week seven.
I'll be glad to. I'll make a note of it.
They'll be in first place by then. If you haven't noticed the difference already in 1 week, which I know you have, and I know you just, it's a lot of times when you rip, Tom Brady.
I know Tom Brady's on pace for 24 INTs. Now, that's Baker Mayfield-ish.
Yeah, okay. And I'll bet you any money he's not even close to that when push comes to shove.
What's close?
But it was about,
19?
Did you watch the game yesterday at all? Did you see what happened in that game yesterday?
Yeah, you're going to have to be more specific. But, yes, I did.
Brady, 23 for 35. As 12 incompletions, 3 were uncatchable, only 3. 8 went off the target's hands, and you saw Grayson doink it, which should have been like a 30-yard gain off his helmet. Mm-hmm. How do you go up for a pick? You reach up, and it goes through your hands. It hits you on the crown of the helmet. So
it happens.
Anyway.
It happens. But they went over the Panthers, 31-17, final score.
Yeah, and it was some good symmetry there with Mike Evans. He overthrew Gronk on the pick. It was a bad throw. I think he could have he was rushed a tad. Probably still could have waited another quarter second, but it is what it is. Overall, it was much better look than the week before.
What was Brett Favre doing there? I didn't think we were allowing people in
without a mask. Even
no mask, eating chips.
My understanding is he's doing a documentary on Devin White.
Really?
For some sort of cable show or Syria or something, whatever it is he's doing, YouTube, whatever it is, and they let him in, him and his family.
The conspiracy theorists out there said it was a middle finger to Bruce Arians for criticizing Tom Brady. Of course, Brett Favre was in the news last week for sticking up for Tom Brady.
Yeah, and, for me...
And that Brady invited him.
I don't know how close Brett Favre and Tom Brady actually are. I've never heard about this incredible relationship all the years I was up there. Just kind of happened all of a sudden. I'm not saying they don't like each other, but I never knew they were this close all of a sudden. I think the main reason why he was there is because Devin White, he was doing a documentary on him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But
Real quick, boot camp went 14-15 on my weekly picks. Vikings screw me. Got the
Rick's Vikings.
Well, may I just say, boot camp, I need more information. Is that straight up or against the spread? If it's against the spread, you need to be playing professionally.
He's not against the spread.
No, the Vikings looked after the Jets, I'd say the Vikings looked the second worst. Kirk Cousins sucked. Absolutely terrible. 11 of 26, 3 picks, no touchdowns, and 113
yards. He was 4 of 20 at one point.
Yeah. How do you not bench
him? Did he have a safety, if I remember, or did he get out?
Yes. I think you're right, yeah.
There was no pocket awareness in the end zone.
But that was what a pathetic display that was last night.
Not even a fight. No. They didn't put up a fight.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Vikings defense is pretty bad.
Yeah.
This just in.
Which is worse, Dolphins defense or Vikings defense?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not prepared to answer that sort of question right now.
Well, let's look.
Up with these stupid Dolphins right now. How do you invest what felt like $7 billion into your defense and you allow John Brown, he does one thing. He runs fast. That's what he does. And stupid Bobby McCain doesn't get behind him when playing a zone defense. I'm so mad at this team right now. I'm so hot under the collar. That game was there to be won yesterday. You are up 20-17 and you lay an egg like that defense? Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
I was surprised that Buffalo blew the lead that they had. It wasn't like they're up like Dallas or down, but I mean they were up. They're up 7-0 pretty quickly. And then,
you can't get pressure with 4. You can't manufacture anything close to pressure. You allow Josh Allen, who's thrown for over 300 yards once in his lifetime as an NFL quarterback, he just goes for 419 or 417 or whatever the ridiculous number was.
It was 400.
4 touchdowns. We got, honestly, the Miami Dolphins have propelled Josh Allen into the MVP conversation. It's not even October.
Dolphins defensive rankings, last in yards per pass, 10.2. 10.2. last in yards per play, 7.2, 30th in yards, 440 and a half, 29th in rushing, 164, 28th in yards per rush at 5 per carry, 27th in passing, 276.5, and 19th in scoring. I will just say this, like every other, it's week two.
I know it's week two, Pete. But you know what the problem is? If you keep saying, it's week two, it's week three, eventually
the losses add up.
You got Jacksonville next. That is a must-win.
Short week on the road.
The Dolphins are not winning that football game. Then it's back-to-back games against – then you got a Seahawks game at home, not winning that football game.
Now you're thinking like a Lions fan.
And then the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco.
Good job.
Jimmy G's not playing, but this just in, he's not very good either. Doesn't really matter. And this is so frustrating. You put up with 18 months of the Dolphins tearing it down. You want to get something close to a reward, and you're met with this crap pile on a Sunday, and I can't even watch
it. Fire flurries.
Because you can't. No. I don't even know what the problem is. I don't know what to do anymore. You can't even power your entire stadium, so I have to follow along on my stupid phone. It's so freaking frustrating.
Listen to on our sister station.
It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault, but this team needs a shot. It needs a shot of something. The offensive line has actually probably been the best unit the Dolphins have had this season.
See, Pete?
Put two in.
There you go.
Just put Tua in.
It took him 25 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
I should have put Tua in week one. And you put Tua in, you watch how he sparks the entire team. I promise you, the defense will play better.
Guys, we saw it yesterday with Justin Herbert. They get in there, the rookie gets in, he makes some plays, beep, bop, boop, bop, bing. Now the defense goes, hey now, we got a fighting shot. Maybe this kid's the next
Mahomes. They're professionals, they should be doing that anyway. Fitzpatrick had a good game. He was fine. He didn't hurt them on offense.
It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault yesterday's loss. I'll say that the week one pathetic showing from Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Patriots, that was on him. But yesterday was not on him. But sorry, it's not that your time is done, Fitzy. The time has passed. Take the beard, put him on the bench, let him be a coach, which he's going to be in his next profession, and you put the youngster in.
Wow. All right.
And we'll see if Brian Flores does it. That's what he should do. He should have done it from week one. I told you. He should have done it from week one.
I don't have a problem with how he's done it.
They wasted 2 weeks of a season because they didn't put him in.
That game was there to be had yesterday. It was there to be had, and the secondary played like crap. Like hot, steaming pile of crap.
Well, it's the second week in
and
a row.
I am livid. You spend
maybe
all that
Tua
money.
Tua should play free safety. Get him out there.
You spend all that money on the secondary, and that's the performance you get? I don't care that Byron Jones went out in the first quarter with a groin injury. Hey, Xavien, why don't you cover somebody, huh? Why are we putting the rookie on Stephon Diggs? Why does the... Hello? Do we not have Xavien Howard on the other side? What is he doing?
Stephon Diggs is going to end up being, besides maybe Cam Newton with the Patriots, the best free... I mean, remember, he demanded a trade from the Vikings, thank God for him, after that debacle, and took less money to go play for Buffalo. And man, is it ever working out. What a great move.
I want to squeeze in a quick text from Chaka, who says, I want to hear a rant like that from Craig about the Lions. Come on, Craig, exclamation point. Get hot. Let me know. I'm not the only Lions fan down here wasting away my Sundays watching a big streaming pile of crap. Well, Chaka, I'm already a beaten man.
You've already said it.
I've said my piece.
207 a week ago.
I called the season over a week ago. I have nothing left. I don't have any spirit or passion like Chris does anymore. I'm drained. I'm zapped. We're 0-2. Season's done. You don't make the playoffs, Matt Patricia. That's
Memphis
it.
Tom, I know John Brown is fast. If I know John Brown is fast, don't you think Bobby McCain should know John Brown is fast? He's a free safety letting somebody over the top on a zone assignment. It's stupidity. It has nothing to do with athleticism. And don't give me that Xavien Howard can't match up with Stephon Diggs. He can try. We can line him up across from him and just see. Just tickle the fancy. Scratch my itch for me. Let our best player go up against their best player.
All right, more rants coming up. We'll get some post-game sound. I'll have to correct.
Have fun battling the Jets for last place.
Yeah, well, I'll have
which you know won't happen.
I'll have to update the standings on the Pigskin Picks because I got screwed there. By the way.
Well, how much does Josh Boyer have to come into play with this, your defensive coordinator? Where's he in all of this, and you blame Pie? He's got to come. I mean, he's got to be better than that.
I don't know.
Their defense is awful. I do think it'll get better as time goes on. It will get better when you put Tua in because he will spark everybody on that team to play better, which is why you should have put him in week one. Enough of this wussy stuff. He's a rookie. He's not throwing him to the wolves. I told you it was going to backfire on him if they didn't do it. And it's exactly what happened.
The Hawaiian right. Spark,
him in
I'm
Thursday
calling
night.
For it.
All right.
I'm calling
right.
for it.
All right. I've been trying to throw it to break for 4 minutes.
Little Tua and everyone.
We've got our friends at Axis Satellite want to talk to you right now because all the free DirecTV showing your favorite teams, they give you a couple of free weeks to start the season. That's over. 2 weeks, it's over. You got to get hooked up so you can watch your favorite teams. We don't want to see the Dolphins lose again every week here on local TV. We don't want to see Tampa Bay every, maybe you do, but you can listen to them on the radio. You want to see your favorite team on DirecTV? Call Axis Satellite. They will set you up. They set up high-end deals like restaurants and casinos, but they could do your home too. And put the satellite dish up outside, set up your man cave inside if you need it, upgrade your TVs, the whole thing, turnkey deal, Axis Satellite. Give them a call right now and get yourself set up for football season because, believe it or not, we are in full swing of sports, unlike this summer with the pandemic. You got to be prepared. You got to be ready to go, and you don't want to install a satellite dish by yourself. I'm telling you that right now. Call Axis Satellite right now, your one-stop shop. Check out their website at axissatellite.com or give them a call and ask for Danny. In fact, tell Danny that Craig at ESPN Radio told you to call. His number, 239-997-2947. That's 239-997-2947. Don't miss any of these games. Call Axis Satellite today.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Lots of NFL still to get to. Don't forget, we got some Monday Night Football. The Saints down in Vegas, baby, taking on the Raiders tonight. Some college football. Mike Norvell has tested positive for the COVID for Florida State. They are still planning on playing the game against the U this weekend, but he will not be coaching. So, big rivalry game. Their head coach not going to be there. The U looking pretty good against Louisville over the weekend.
They look real good. I know the defense at the end. There was a lot of garbage time there at the end and a little lack of discipline at times at the end. But overall, the Christmas is there. De'Ara King, big plays. The defense on the whole was swarming when they needed to make stops. And maybe the best kicker in the world, college or pro, they might have him. And Jose Borges, 4 field goals, including a 48 and a 57-yarder right down the middle, would have been good from 70 in the first half. And just can't say enough. Cameron Harris was fantastic. And overall, like I said, I liked how the defense swarmed. When they needed to make stops, they were making stops, and they were putting pressure. And they made big plays. And, you know, Herbie brought it up a bunch of times, and I felt the same way. It felt different for the first time in a long time.
I also see you are wearing your Citadel Blue outfit today. The Citadel moral victory against Clemson this weekend.
You know, I have so many of these nice shirts that I never wear. You know, like you have you know, you get stuck wearing the same stuff, T-shirts.
Yeah,
and
I have
shirts
a kind of a back from the back of the.
Look at you. You have a. You know, it's commie. I'm going to call that communist tropical.
It's tropical.
It's but it's like a.
See, now that I lost all this weight, I'm going further back into the closet now. I'm using the whole playbook. I got it all at my availability now. So.
As you should. But one one thing before we get to the Clemson thing.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened with the line guys with Miami Louisville? Did you hear what happened? Because we left here, they were 2.5-point underdogs. Before kickoff, and I mean about 2 hours before, I saw it go up, and you know the story came out where there's some Miami players that they said tested COVID and weren't going. Uh-huh. They said 12 of them, something like that. We knew one earlier in the week wasn't going to travel with the team, so I'm thinking, what the hell happened?
Yeah,
what? But they went from a 2.5-point underdog to a 2-point favorite before kickoff, and I'm thinking, well, why is that?
That's a big swing
after 12. You know, you players might not be going, and nobody knew which ones were going to be there.
Yeah.
So then I started to poke around a little bit. And for whatever reason, Vegas saw how Louisville played against the run against Western Kentucky the week before.
Yeah.
And I saw a Vegas analyst say that was the reason.
But
and,
that late of a move?
I know.
That means they didn't do their homework throughout the week.
Yeah, it certainly seemed that way, Craig. Mm. And they went. They were a two-point favorite at kickoff, going from a two-and-a-half-point underdog on Saturday. So that was cool. And then the Clemson thing. Clemson was favored by 53. They're up 49-0 at the half on the Citadel, the mighty Citadel.
That's right, the Citadel.
And then the Citadel shuts them out in the second half, and Clemson doesn't cover.
How much did Trevor play in the second half?
I don't know.
I don't recall.
I don't know. Yeah. But he played well in the first. Actually, I could tell you the second.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't. But didn't need to, obviously. Why would you stick him out there?
No.
For a game like that, game was useless. You learn nothing in those games, as I said. Good payday for the Citadel. But you're not going to watch that. Nobody's watching. It's an embarrassment. You don't learn anything. You're not teaching anybody anything. You're like, well, we shut out the best team in college football for the second half. No, you didn't. They could have scored 100 if they wanted to, maybe more. Those games to me are absolutely useless.
Speaking of not watching.
Here's Trevor's stats real quick.
Okay.
He was 8 of 9 for 168 yards and 3 touchdowns. They played 3 other quarterbacks in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That threw for a combined 11 for 16, 77 yards and no touchdowns.
See, there's the value for Clemson right there. You play those guys not because they won't see action for the rest of the year, just in case you need them. In case Trevor gets hurt, give him a few snaps.
Yeah, against that competition, no.
Speaking of not watching. Craig Wright again. I think I'm going to bump myself up to 94%. Sunday, U.S. Open, no stars, no drama.
You're crazy.
No ratings.
Well, you're going up against the NFL, so it doesn't count.
Nothing got ratings.
It does count. Wait a minute. It does, because that's the reality we lived in. Let me ask you, Pete, how much did you watch on Sunday? You're a huge golf fan.
5 minutes.
I watched about 5 minutes also. Chris, how much did you watch?
About an hour.
An hour. You usually lock down for 4 hours on Championship Sunday.
It doesn't take away from what Bryan DeChambeau did. It does not take away.
Again, it's going up against the NFL. I mean, I'd venture to say that if you pull the NBA ratings from last night, they'd be pretty horrendous.
Not one second of that game did I watch.
I'm just saying, if Tiger was in there, you might have peeled some eyeballs off the NFL because you know he would have.
I don't think he would have.
Yeah, he would have.
You think people would rather watch Tiger Woods play golf than watch football on a Sunday?
It's happened before. When was that thing where everybody followed him down the fairway? That was a fall tournament. That took eyeballs from football.
That was in August. That was not during the regular season.
Was it in August?
Has there ever been a major championship played on an NFL Sunday?
Why do you guys get so hot and bothered every time I'm freaking right about something and then you want to try and bury me?
Mr. Smarty Pants, I'm ready to agree with you on a little bit of this, but this is an exceptional set of circumstances here. No sporting event. What are people watching? The WNBA? Nothing is going to get big ratings during that time on a Sunday in week two of the NFL. It's never happened before. It probably, hopefully, never happened again. But I do think, Craig, if it was Tiger and Bryson DeChambeau or whoever, neck and neck last week. Now, it still would have got crappy ratings. It would have been a little bit better, though. I would have tended to flip over more during commercial breaks.
Sure you would.
Constantly flip over
Absolutely
more.
Absolutely you would have.
But I would have as well. But I didn't do that. I mean, but still, you're not going to – you're not going to come up. Even the Masters, if the Masters were played on 1 o'clock, they would have had bad ratings.
You know what, Craig? Why don't you print off or save that, whatever the ratings are that you saw that were so bad for the U.S. Open? Let's compare them to the Masters on Sunday going up against NFL football. If those are low as well, then we can just say, hey, you know what? Golf major up against NFL is never going to work out for golf.
That's not true. If it's Matthew Wolf and Louis Oosthuizen, that is your competition, no, they'll get poor ratings any time of year.
Whatever.
Craig Wright again, 94%.
No.
When did was I sitting here saying that the U.S. Open's going to pull great ratings last? I didn't say that once.
No, but every time I say if there's not some big people down the stretch in a closely played match, it's not going to get good ratings. And it didn't.
Tiger's played down the stretch how many times this year?
None.
And the ratings have been pretty good. Except, I mean, you're not going to get good ratings going up against the NFL. It's never happened before like this, and it's never going to happen again. Not in a tournament.
I don't think the Masters in November will get very good television ratings on Sunday.
Nope.
I think they'll get very good numbers. It's the Masters, for crying out loud.
So what? Huh. Against what?
If there's somebody decent playing,
this
sure.
is the U.S. Open.
What is your definition of somebody decent?
Not Bryson DeChambeau.
What does it mean?
Not Matt
Where
Wolf.
Where is Craig somebody's
nobody,
decent?
Nobody
list?
In America knows who Matt Wolf is.
I know who Matthew Wolf
but
is.
You're, no, that doesn't count. You're a diehard what? Golf fan. The average
he
Joe
was teammates
Schmo,
with Victor Hovland at Oklahoma
fine.
State.
You can throw all that
how
information
do you not know
nobody
that?
Know, how, okay, I'm done with you people. How can I not know that?
I don't know.
Do you not watch the Collegiate National Championship every year on Golf Channel?
Never.
Are you serious?
Not once.
No. Sarcasm aside, phenomenal
never.
Event. I think phenomenal it's, event.
It has been good. When Oklahoma won it a couple years ago, it was Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. That was it. Victor Hovland and Matthew Wolf. Those were the two guys leading the team. Oklahoma State. How about that? Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys. The Sheeman and Shepherd Daily Dose is available after each show. We take the best segments, important interviews, and funniest moments of the show and condense it down to approximately about 30 minutes on a daily podcast. You can get it at 993ESPN.com, on your free 993ESPN app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. South Street next. Sheeman and Shepherd, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I think you're serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
In case you were busy not watching NBA last night, pretty cool ending if you're a Lakers fan. They took a 2-0 series lead against the Nuggets in their Western Conference Finals. Anthony Davis, the left side three at the buzzer for the win on TNT.
Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! Anthony Davis scored as a good three-point basket. They will take a look, but Anthony Davis is going to send the Lakers to a 2-0 series lead. In the clutch, delivers the bomb.
Afterward, he said, you just dream of these moments.
It's a huge dream. To make it, you know, even better, you know, kind of wish you was in Staples tonight with the fans, you know, that support us all year. But, you know, still to be in that moment and hit a shot like that is still a dream. I've never hit a game winner like that before. So to hit it like that and, you know, to be a three, it's a special moment for me. Something I'll let soak in for the next couple hours and then tomorrow try to get, you know, get ready and prep for game three.
All right. On to the U.S. Open on NBC. Here's Bryson DeChambeau winning it.
He's going to shoot the only round under par today. In 119 previous U.S. Opens, three times has the champion been the only player to break par in the final round. Gene Sarans in 1922, Byron Nelson 1939, Jack Fleck 1955. This for a final par save. Bryson DeChambeau is indeed a U.S. Open champion at Wingfoot.
Afterward, he said he was very humbled.
It's just an honor. I don't know what else to say. It's been a lot of hard work. Mr. Nicholas has been always awesome to me. He gave me a sponsor's invite. Tiger's always been great to me. I can't say thank you enough to them for them helping me push me along to be a better person and a better golfer as well. But to be in the names, the likes of the names of that company is special. I'll forever appreciate that.
All right. And DeChambeau says he wants to hit the ball even further. I mean, he's just muscular and you're to grip it and rip it. And he wants to even hit it further.
I'm not going to stop. Next week, I'm going to be trying a 48-inch driver. We're going to be messing with some head designs and do some amazing things with Cobra. To make it feasible to hit these drives, hopefully 360, 370, maybe even farther. We don't know.
370. It's ridiculous.
But he got outdriven, right, on one shot.
He was not the leading driver of the U.S. Open. Both Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson gained more strokes off of the tee. He was second in scrambling, and he was top five in putting. That's the formula. So you can talk about him bombing it off the tee, and it's not the U.S. Open that you used to watch as a kid. And there's some truth to that. But you still have to putt well, and you still have to scramble well to win a U.S. Open. Both things Bryson DeChambeau did really well, particularly on the weekend.
What was it? And what's that green? That was like a 90-degree green. Guys were mastering it on the hole if they had that particular angle where they're really putting 90 degrees, and it took like 35 seconds for the ball to come down.
It was a great U.S. Open setup. What did we have? Two guys finish under par? I mean, it was Matthew Wolfer did Ustase and finish at one under as well. I mean, you had two or three guys finish under par. And apart from that, I mean, let's go back a month when everybody's bitching and moaning about Dustin Johnson shooting a 30 under par. Where was he this week? You know, he increased his strokes by like 40 on the week from his win a few weekends ago to now. So, I mean, it was a fine setup. Bryson is just when he's scrambling well and his short game is working, he's going to win a lot of tournaments.
Yep. To shoot 70 or less in every round. On that course. Is one of the most difficult in the world. Incredible.
All right. Come up. We have more NFL sound. A lot of post-game reactions to some of these key games. We'll get into that. We'll talk some more college football. The Big Ten, by the way, released its schedule. This is for the third time now. They had the original schedule. Then they had the one they released this summer, but then canceled the season 6 days later. Now we got the other updated schedule. Very excited about that.
You should be.
Begin play October 24th. So we'll have all that. We'll run that down. Pete's got a college football quiz as well. So we will get into it. Oh, and drinking totals over the weekend as well. So stay with us. Hour number two on a Monday. You all right there?
It's a big number.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.